Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 2, ending in verse 6. Every person goes through tough times, either times that God is not doing what we think he should do, or God doing what we think he shouldn't do. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be teaching a message entitled, A Message to Souls in the Prison of Doubt. We hope you're blessed.
Because when you go to Jesus, like with John, there will be no condo. There'll be no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There will be acceptance of your accusations, as ridiculous as they are. There will be this welcoming to reason with the great mighty counselor, as much as that is ludicrous. We here are limited to this universe, and we're going to argue with God about something who's outside of all of it? Like, we have any business doing that? Again, parents, if I could plead you, your little kid comes to you, and they want to argue with you about why they can't have ice cream instead of dinner. You're going to sit there, right? I mean, I'm not even going to entertain this. This is ridiculous. What do you mean? You just can't. Well, why can't I? I'm not that hungry. Well, if you're not that hungry, then why do you want ice cream? Have you had that argument before? Right? You got to eat your dinner if you want to have your ice cream. If you eat your dinner, you can have your ice cream. Why am I even answering these questions? You're the kid. I'm the parent. Shut up and go eat. How ridiculous is it that we even think God should entertain our contention? It's so ridiculous. And any other God besides the God of the Bible would not do so. In fact, there's not even an approaching of the throne of that God. There's not even a surety and a certainty that you are his and that he is yours. But the God of the Bible, Jesus, he says that when you're struggling, when you're faltering, I would rather you pull a Thomas and tell me about your doubts than pull a Judas and walk away from me. I would rather you come to me if you're heavy laden. We're going to read it at the end of this chapter in a few weeks. I'd rather you come to me if you're confused and let's hash this thing out and I'll refocus you. I'll realign you. I'll reopen to you my word and give you perspective so that you can carry on. I won't give you some hocus pocus. I won't give you some malarkey. I won't give you some positive confession that will not work. I'll give you something that is everlasting. I'll give you something that is sure. I'll give you something that is tested, that is tried and true. I'll give you something that is weighty. I'll give you kabod, substance. I'll give you something that will anchor you and cradle you all the way to the finish line. And that is my word. That's what Jesus does here. Jesus, if you got your Bibles in front of you, you see the text. Jesus here initially doesn't respond to the disciples. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 7, Luke tells us that in that same hour that the disciples came and they questioned Jesus and why he's doing what he's doing and not doing what he should be doing, he doesn't even immediately respond. You know what he does? He starts to heal people. He starts to heal the deaf. He starts to make the lame walk. He starts to minister to people that have needs. And then he turns to the disciples who came to inquire of Jesus and his authenticity. And he says this to them, go and tell John what you're hearing. Go and tell John what you're seeing. Go and tell John that the deaf's ears are being opened, the eyes are being opened, that the lame are being made to walk. Go and tell John that I am meeting the expectations of Scripture, even though I'm not meeting the expectations of him. And that's what I'm here to do, Jesus would say. That's what proves that I am Messiah. That's what shows that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not that I didn't meet an individual's expectations of me in their life, but that I am faithful to my word. Isaiah 35, all throughout the book of Isaiah, all through the Old Testament, this is what it said was going to happen when Messiah comes. And I'm doing all of those things. Just because John can't sense that doesn't disqualify me. Do you see this morning? Just because John can't understand and make sense of it because of his circumstances doesn't mean that I'm not really being faithful to my mission. Just because John, as an Old Testament saint, can't distinguish between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ, and how Messiah is not overturning the Roman government and those oppressing the Jews, just because he can't see what Christ was supposed to do solely in his first coming, doesn't mean that I'm not going to be faithful to my mission. I've come and I fulfilled Scripture. That's my obligation. That's my expectation being met to the Word of God. Go tell John that. That's it. That's a sour word if you're John. If I'm John, I send a couple of my guys and they say, go find out from Jesus why I'm suffering, why this is happening and this isn't happening. And they come back with how other people are being healed and other people are being set free and then just quoting Scripture. At first, that's going to be sort of nerving to me. It's going to bother me. But if I chew on this and I meditate upon this, I think there's something for us to take and see here. This was good enough for John. It had to have been, because it's all that Jesus gives to him. John's going to die. John's circumstances are not going to change. The rest of his days are going to be lived out in a prison cell. Do you understand? Listen, he's going to be there another 8 months at least, and then he's going to be beheaded. His head's going to be served on a platter to Herod's wife. That's what's going to happen to this man. So if this is all that Jesus gave to him, then this is all that John needed. And for some of you, that's true this morning too. And the blessing is, don't be offended by me. Don't be offended at me because I'm not meeting your expectation. Be pleased that I'm meeting the expectation of Scripture. Because if I met the expectation of Scripture, then I will now to you too. Well, what is that? That I've gone to prepare a place for you. A place that is otherworldly. A place that is not like this. I've gone to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you so. But if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will receive you, the hurting ones, unto myself, that where I am, you might be also. And my Father's house are many mansions. It's nothing like anything that you guys know of here in this life. Hold on to that. Trust in that. Let that be the anchor to your souls. Let that cradle you. Don't base your theology on what you're going through. It's so dangerous. You'll be so fickle. I'm coming to get you again. Soon there's going to be a shout of an archangel and the trumpet's going to blow and you're going to hear those words come up hither and all of this is going to be done away with. If you base you following Jesus and you being committed to Jesus on your heights and on your depths, you're never going to make it. Peter in his epistle, he says this, he says, I don't tell you that you should follow Jesus because of my experiences with Jesus that were so wonderful. And he goes, and by the way, I'm paraphrasing, of course, loosely here. But he says, by the way, they were wonderful. I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus showed us his glorified body. You know, Elijah was there. Moses was there. They're talking together. And I'm there, he says. And I said even then, man, this is good that we should stay here. Let's build a church. Let's stay right here, a house. Let's stay here and do this all the time. He goes, but I'm not telling you you should follow Jesus because of that height of my experience. I'm telling you should follow Jesus because of a more sure word, he says, fulfillment of prophecy. Everything that Jesus came to do, we did. And if everything he came to do, we did, he's going to do again with what's left for him to do. That's why you follow Jesus, he says. It's the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. It's his word. But we struggle. Moses struggled. Numbers chapter 11, if you need encouragement, you can go read these verses later. Numbers chapter 11, he struggled to the point of wanting to die. Maybe you feel bad today because you're doubting, you're depressed, you're discouraged. Listen, let me encourage you this morning not to stay there, but to know that there are those who've gone before you that can relate to you. Moses, Numbers 11, all of the people that he delivered from Egypt are complaining and murmuring to him. Would you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? We miss the leeks, we miss the garlic, we miss the cucumbers. We miss the food in Egypt. Now we have this manna stuff. All it is manicotti, banana muffins, banana bread. It's getting old. It's getting stale. You know, why did you bring us here? And Moses gets before God in Numbers 11. And he says, God, please kill me. I can't do this anymore. My circumstances, different than John's, but nonetheless, my circumstances are draining me. Kill me. 1 Kings 19, if you're jotting down notes, Elijah, easily deemed to be one of the greatest prophets, right? Elijah, right? A man of God. He defeats the false prophets of Baal. In chapter 18, he's got this incredible victory over the enemies of God. Chapter 19, he gets word that Ahab and Jezebel are after him. They're going to kill him. The queen, Jezebel, wicked woman. What does he do? He runs for his life. Verse 4 of 1 Kings 19, he hides under a juniper tree and he begs God to kill him. God, just kill me. I can't face her. Just defeated 850 false prophets, but now he wants to die because of her. It's over, God. Just take my life right now. David, in the Psalms, he said, why are you cast down, O my soul? It's not very good when a worship leader's soul is cast down. They're supposed to be like our encouragers, our cheerleaders. Could you imagine if the worship team got up here and started singing, just humming and hoeing up here, just sort of depressed and looking down? You know, I mean, just singing songs in that spirit, we'd be grieved. We'd be like, what is wrong with them? Why is Katie singing that song that way? Why is Alicia singing that song? And why is Daniel strumming so like he's falling asleep, like he drank a bottle of Benadryl, like he's on Vicodin? What's wrong with them? Worship leaders aren't supposed to be depressed in our thinking, right? Listen, yeah, they are. They're people. David was a person. He was a man after God's own heart. Moses was a man. Elijah was a man. John the Baptist was a man. Paul and Silas, they were men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, they say, Paul says, because of their experiences in Asia, that they were pressed down. Listen, that they felt like just we want to die, that death overtook them. They were pressed beyond measure. They couldn't go on anymore. That's Paul and that's Silas. Paul is esteemed by the church to be the most godly man besides Jesus Christ to ever walk this earth. And he's like, I just want to die. I almost died. I wish I died. It happens. And the beautiful, amazing thing about Jesus is that he doesn't just say, really? Are you serious, you weakling? You're supposed to be, John, the greatest prophet born among women. David, you're supposed to be a psalmist. Paul, you're writing majority of the New Testament. Elijah, you're supposed to come again in glory. Moses, you're the law writer, the first five books of the Bible, and you guys can't get your act together? He says this, go and tell John again who I am and what I'm doing. Because I'm a God of grace. And I'm a God who pities my children knowing that they're just dust. And I'm willing to tell them again and again and again and again of truths they already know. Because I understand I'm acquainted with all of their sorrow and all of their griefs. And I understand that in this life, man, we are a place where we're between two places of perfection. What we were created to be and none of us are. And what we are going to be and none of us are. And we can't do any better than this. And Jesus gets it. He says, just remind them of my word. Because that's going to be all that they have to carry on. It has to be. This is all that John got. Listen, for some of you, you're here today. And that's all that Jesus is going to give you for this one. You're in something today, maritally, raising children, you know, financially, whatever, where your expectations and God's nature have not lined up. And you could do one of a couple of things here. We have to come to closure. What do we do with this? Well, you can just say that I'm done with you, God. I'm going to walk away. But here's what I say to you. Where are you going? Where are you going once you've found truth? Where are you going when you found the way? You might not like the ways of the way, but you found the way. Where are you going when you've experienced truth? Lies will never suffice anymore. Where are you going when you found life, abundant life? That world has no life to give you. It destroys lives. So where are you going? Like Peter, Lord, you hold the words to eternal life. I can't walk away from Jesus personally. I've wanted to sometimes. I'm sorry if that stumbles you as your pastor. There's been times where God has failed me, because not me in the sense of because he didn't do what he was supposed to do because I had an expectation on him of what I thought he should do. And there's been times where God has let me down. There's been times where I've been stripped of every resource that can cradle me. And I had nothing left. And I have felt like this. God, I'm done with you. But then the question comes, where am I going? I'm not talking about work-wise. I can go get a job, whatever. I can go sell a car. I don't care. I'll do anything. I'm talking about life. Where am I going? I have nowhere to go. And clearly, you probably don't either, or else you wouldn't be here. Where are we going? So I have to do something. If I'm going to be in this for the long haul, if I'm going to be in this, man, to finish my race, then I've got to depend my faithfulness to God on things outside of my experiences and my circumstances. And this is all I've got: His faithfulness to His word. Because if He's been faithful to His word and He can't lie and He can't change His mind, there's no variable of turning, then He'll always be faithful to His word. Then that means this: whatever I've got going on now was only a light affliction, and soon and very soon I'm going to be with my King, and this is going to be done away with. I can do something with that. I can do something with that. I might not like it. I might not agree with it, just like John, just like David, just like Elijah, just like Moses, just like Paul, just like Silas. I definitely won't always agree with it, but I can do something with that. I can jump into that, and that can take me home because I have the assurity of eternity and glory with my Savior. I hope that makes sense to everybody. It will make you or break you. If you can grab that this morning, nothing can shake you. If you can grab that this morning, you can be snapped out of your funk that you're in. You can come to the truth of it all. You can say, okay, that's true, right, that's right. Because no matter what happens with him, no matter what happens with her, no matter what happens over there, I've got glory awaiting me. And nobody can steal that from me. What can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. If God did not spare his own son, how shall he not freely give us all good things? Romans 8. Height, depth, width, breadth, angels, principalities, Satan himself, even my own self. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. That's revelating. That's illuminating. If you caught it, your heart should be ablaze right now. Nothing can snatch you from his grip. John, Calvary Westside, second service. Perhaps nothing's ever going to change in this arena for the rest of your days. And I think that there's almost like this, not apology in the sense of, like I did you wrong, but apology in the sense of, I'm sorry you thought that way. Because I looked at this statement of verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And I think that there's almost this, try to grab what Jesus is saying here. I think there's almost this, I'm sorry that you, the culture invaded your thinking to be that way. I'm sorry that, you know, everything else in this life is rewards-based and you thought that's how church was too. I'm sorry about all this, but the truth is, what's better for you in the long haul, if you stay the course with me, is blessings abound everlasting if you just keep following me. And I'm giving you a reason to, because look at my word. Does that make sense? That's wild. There's nothing else better to carry you through this life, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. All of us, if we stay together as a church, we're going to be attending funerals. We're going to be giving out, you know, cards of comfort. We're going to go through things together. We just can't escape it. But it's Jesus and his firm foundation, the solid rock of his truths, the word of ages. That's what we stand on. That's what we build our lives on. And we can't go down. That's it. I got nothing else to give you guys. I wish I did. I mean, I'm going to call Daniel. I'm serious. That's it. I have nothing else to give you guys. Daniel and the team, they're going to come. They're going to lead us in a song. And we're just challenged with this one. I can't go on to verse 7 because there was too much stuff in verse 2 through 6. I can't steal that from you. You got to take that. And I can only take you this far. We all have to settle this. There's so much malarkey out there in the world and in the church. They give you all of this, you know, huffing and puffing, and this is what you do, and positive confession. It doesn't work. If you live long enough, it just doesn't work. And for some of us, sometimes this is where it ends. So we have to say, okay, Jesus, make it make sense to me. Make it life to me. Make this as a reality for me, God. Because I'm struggling right now. I'm in a prison of doubt. It's turning into depression. I'm actually mad at you right now. Give me grace and give me faith to hold on to what you're saying back to me. You know, so many times after a service, I'll have the guys come And if I can, I will too. We'll come down, we'll pray over you guys. I'll say, okay, at this time, you know, if you're here today and you're going through it and we call you to pray for you, I've been here before though, and I've been there before where that doesn't even work. It's a season where only a fresh encounter with the living word and his written word works. That's it. So I suggest that we just stay in our seats for this closing song and we get before Jesus and we say, Jesus, I'm in it right now. I'm John the Baptist right now. Help me, Lord. Help me to accept what you're giving me because nothing's going to change. I'm going to need some help here, Lord. Give me faith to believe and to trust in your word. Or you're here today and you're not yet going through it and you need to say, Jesus, prepare me. Jesus, guard me. Jesus, keep me, right? But either way, all of us are here today saying, Jesus, we need you. This life is crazy. So much is coming against us, right? So much is coming against us to follow the Lord, to be faithful and true to him. Jesus, you've overheard. You've been in our meeting, Lord. We need you. That's the common thread among all of us this morning as we ready ourselves to sing this last song to you. Some here, God, they're so weak and discouraged and despairing that they can't even lift their voice, Lord. There's no strength within them. And God, I just pray that you'd reach down and wash those people's feet this morning. Whisper in their ears afresh how much you love them. Take the truth, Lord, of this song that we sing to you and penetrate to the depths of their souls. And Lord, if we're going to stay in our prison, if you see it fit that we're going to stay in this hour of darkness, then would you at least liberate us from the prison of doubt and fear and anxiety and confusion? And would you give us that ability to rest in your goodness, to trust in your faithfulness. Just finish what has been started here this morning. Now we ask. We look to you, Jesus, the one where our help comes from.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's go!